Welcome to the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series, where your host, Andy Jacob, interviews leading entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs about their incredible companies and discusses their unique entrepreneurial journeys. If you're the CEO or founder of an exciting and exceptional company, the editorial team of .com Magazine welcomes you to pitch your business story to appear on this exciting interview series by reaching out to Mr. Jacob at .com Magazine at .commagazine.com. And without further ado, here is another amazing entrepreneurial story on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series.
Good afternoon, everyone. Andy Jacob here with the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series. I have a very fascinating show today. I've been able to book Mr. Manuel Herranz, and Manuel is the CEO of Panjianic. And this is such an interesting business that Manuel and his entire team have put together. They're a worldwide leader in translation. And when we find out what he's doing and what this specialized technology is able to do worldwide in the translation space, you're going to be amazed. When we were looking at Panjianic and we were looking at all the companies and all the people throughout the entire world that they help with their translation services, both through AI and specialized technology, it's absolutely incredible. Manuel, thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
Thank you, Andy.
Manuel, this is so exciting to have you. You know, whenever we can get a worldwide leader on the show, it's very exciting for me because I know that we're talking to the best of the best and the brightest and the brightest, and you've been able to put together such an amazing team at Panjianic. But as you know, what we like to do to begin the show, let's pull the lens back to 30,000 feet and tell us about Panjianic.
Yes. So Panjianic was born 20 years ago. We moved into technology, language technology, based on statistical methods, on pattern recognition, which was, let's say, one of the ancestors of artificial intelligence in 2010. 11 years ago, and we're talking about ancestors, but that is how fast this world moves. From then, we experimented with machine translation in many language combinations. We had a two-year partnership with Toshiba in Japan, which was very fruitful. We interchanged a lot of data. And from those experiences with machine translation, we moved on to neural dependencies, machine learning, and specifically deep learning, which is an extreme method of with a lot more layers, a lot more complicated, providing artificial intelligence services related to language. So translation has a big component in our offering, but there are many other technologies that we apply, like named entity recognition, so finding out exactly what people are mentioned in a document, what are the relations between them, anonymizing a document so you don't see, or masking, data masking, so you don't see who's speaking, and then you can share documents privately and securely. That is very important in Europe because of GDPR, and it's increasingly important in the States too, with privacy laws coming into action in California and Virginia and other states.
Very interesting, Manuel. You know, obviously Panjianic has been designed for enterprise, legal firms, content producers, language professionals, and the like. And it's very, very simplistic. You know, you have this program called Eco, and it really provides simplicity for users worldwide across many different verticals. And what this does is it reduces their administration costs because you have very simple monthly subscription packages. So let's talk about that. Who is the type of customer that comes to Panjianic and says, hey, Manuel and team, we need Panjianic because we've heard about it and it's so impressive and so incredible?
Yes, our typical clients are corporations, small, medium, and large companies, and government. So we have from legal firms that require analysis of your data, forensic analysis, or machine translation of your data, so they can understand what this proof is in Russian or in Arabic or in Spanish or in French, and then come to a decision of how they're going to focus on their case. Are they going to do this? Are they going to talk about that? And that's obviously very important, because sometimes you're talking about millions of dollars that can be lost in an international litigation case simply because you don't understand. And that is not very costly. We have partners, very good partners in the States we work very closely with for legal and compliance. And government offices in Spain, we work for the tax, for what is the Inland Revenue, the tax office, National Service, news services, to publish the online contents in other languages. And the quality is so good because we can customize engines to a degree that mimics very well the style of the journalists in a foreign language, that they go without revision. And they say, look, this is good enough. We'll go with 90% human parity. We accept it. Okay, we put a disclaimer. But we're able to reach Arabic speakers, French speakers, Polish speakers, Russian, Chinese, the Chinese public with our news, because what we want is speed more than anything. So we have from small legal offices and companies for translation services to larger companies that require machine translation 24/7 service and thousands of documents every day.
That's incredible, Manuel. And we want to talk about, obviously, the unique team of AI and machine learning experts that you've been able to put together with so many years of experience in pattern recognition and technology. But before we do that, you know, it's very interesting you mentioned this, Manuel, because you can give a document to someone to translate, let's say, into English. Mm-hmm. But when they translate it, when you read it, sometimes it just doesn't feel right to you. Mm-hmm. You can tell that it's not really an English speaker, a native English speaker that wrote it, because there's just some things that don't connect. But with your system, wow, I mean, the reports coming back and the reviews are that it's right on, spot on. I mean, the AI and machine learning really can really change it into the language of the person reading it. And they're saying to themselves, well, this was written by native speaker. Isn't that right?
Yeah. The software is tremendous, and it mimics very well the style. It starts from a base, from a baseline engine. But as soon as the human starts feeding data to it, it will mimic very well the style, demote. We call it demoting other styles and other terminologies that are not used, and then start thinking, oh, I find a lot of financial terminology, a lot of legal terminology, a lot of children's literature. Okay.
Wow.
Therefore, I don't need all this legal stuff. I don't need all this fishing, because, you know, kids, we're going to talk about dinosaurs tonight, and then mimic that style. Very, 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 very well. And training, believe you me, takes between half an hour to an hour to get a machine speaking like you do, with your own style and turns and nuances, in Russian or Brazilian Portuguese. So, you know, it's tremendous. You can reach a lot more people, and then obviously understand when it comes to understanding forensic evidence for legal teams. Yeah.
I love it, Manuel. You know, you're known at Pangeanic, obviously, for the speed and the accuracy and sort of what I'm calling the vibe and the feel of the language. And that's really incredible that you've been able to figure that out with your technology platform and with the people working for you. And something that you mentioned earlier that a lot of people don't think about is when there are millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line, let's say for a legal proceeding, between different countries or even companies in different countries, and they have different languages. You know, a few words here and there through a document can change the entire complex.
Absolutely.
Of the entire thing, right?
Absolutely. And we have a team that is wholly dedicated to data gathering between language pairs. We are almost 40 people at the company, and there's a team of 15 that only do AI. The rest are linguists that support the AI, they feed data. They augment the data through a series of processes. So the whole company is very much focused on technology, on R&D and technology improvement year after year. There are new processes, new methods, new solutions. Sometimes they're client-driven, but most of the time it's because we are ahead of the market and we tell our clients, look, I think you may have a problem with this and we're giving you the solution. But it wouldn't be impossible with a great, great team that we have here.
I love it, Manuel. It makes all the sense in the world. It's really smart and really intelligent. So, for example, someone may be reading news in Arabic, but they don't really know that that was originally written in French or in English or in German. But because they're using Panjianic's AI translation software and system, they're reading it just like it was an Arabic writer, and they have no idea that it was really originally written in German or French or English. Isn't that the idea?
It's scary. It's scary, Andy. Sometimes I look at the outputs of our own machines, and I know the news were originally written in English, and I look at the Spanish, and I say, oof, my God. it's right at the bottom when I can tell, maybe this is a little bit machine, but until now, and I'm through a page, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell machine to human. It's scary. But this is not a danger for people, and it's definitely not a danger for broadcasters or journalists. Quite the opposite, because it opens the field to reach new audiences in other languages at the speed of, by pressing a button.
I love it. It makes such great sense, because if you're an English writer, you want people that speak and read other languages to be able to read what you put out into the universe. And through this system, you can now get to more people. You can have more people explore and learn from what you're writing, which I love. And it's so interesting. You know, part of the thing that we think about when we think about the media is how are they going to get their message worldwide? Because, everyone says the world is flat now. And one way that they're doing it is they're using Panjianic to translate in a native style, I guess, the people that are going to read it. So it's so interesting. Now, let me ask you this question, Manuel, because I know at Panjianic you are very, very interested in safety, very interested in privacy laws, very interested in data privacy. And I know you put that at the pinnacle of everything you do, because it's so important. So how do you approach that at Panjianic?
True. You might say, well, I can use Google Translate or Bing Translate, and sometimes they work very well and they're free. So why would I pay for the luxury of using a private system? Well, basically because most importantly, because privacy is at the pinnacle, as you said, is what guides Panjianic. Our users come to us because they don't want to share data with any of the big ones. They want to own their system, whether that is hosted in our cloud and they have a special slice and special installation or deployment, or they want it in their cloud or on premises and in their infrastructure. That is irrelevant. Our system is very exportable. Now, you can't do that with Google Translate or Bing. You can knock on Google's door and say, Google, I want your translation system, give it to me, because it doesn't work like that. Plus, we all know that very large companies, these type of companies, feed on your data to improve their systems. We don't. We sell privacy. So whatever this law firm is doing, the data belongs to them, is theirs, and nobody else is going to look at them. We have ways of creating data to enhance our systems, and that is what makes us really good at what we do. But we don't trade data. Okay, we don't.
Manuel, I love it. It just is such a smart way to go. You give the example of the law firms. Of course, they need their privacy, and of course, they don't want it public, and of course, they don't want to go to an online tool to translate a very, you know, sensitive and highly negotiated type of a contract. So that makes incredible sense. Now, something that's very interesting, Manuel, is you spoke about speed, but during our research, we're also looking at bulk. I mean, it appears to me that your platform, the Eco platform, mm-hmm. can translate content and metadata in the many, many millions very, very quickly. So let's talk about that because it's so interesting.
Yeah, right now we're offering, you caught me the hand, I think it's 80 languages and more than 400 combinations between them. So most languages are into and out of English, and then there are other language combinations that make sense for those audiences. For example, French into Chinese and vice versa, Chinese into French. There are French German makes sense, German Polish or Swedish into German again, and then Italian Spanish, Italian Portuguese. So altogether, there are about 400 combinations. And these engines have been fed and they've constantly been improved with data interaction. In fact, those are the base engines. Then clients can create clones, can retrain them, and that is out of our hands. The client comes with its own data and says, look, I want to shape the engine into my little lingo and my little specific terminology. And that is endless. So production-wise, we are literally, in the tens and hundreds of thousands of pages every day.
That's amazing, and it's so powerful. I want to get into what it takes to power this whole system, because I would imagine that's sort of a key component. Where does the power come from? I would imagine it comes from the cloud. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, obviously everything is hosted in the cloud. We have some training servers on premises because training is very GPU hungry and it consumes a lot of power. And sometimes the experiment goes wrong. So, you know, for scientific experiments, we prefer to use our own on-premises servers. But service happens in the cloud. We have three areas where our servers are servicing clients: United States, Europe, and one in Japan. Those are the three geographic areas where people use Pangeonic: translation, anonymization, data correction, sometimes post-editing, sometimes named entity recognition, or data classification. A big problem, believe it or not, for some financial institutions is to classify tickets. For example, they have a lot of people on the road and say, look, we just have these bundles of paper. I want to know what is a Starbucks ticket and a proper invoice. We have people just doing that. So if you have a system where I can feed and scan all this, and it's okay, this is a ticket, this is a ticket, this is coffee, this is coffee, this is an invoice because we bought three laptops, three Macs, that'd be great. You know, we'd save hours and hours and hours of classification. And then if you can, you know, go further in it and then extract the amounts, so $20 in a Starbucks, $2,000 in a new Mac, plus sales tax. That's great because then I can have my CSV, a little CSV file, feed it into our system, and that goes straight into accounts. So it's a great saving. And that goes on 24/7 in those three areas.
That's amazing, Manuel. You know, this easily configurable bulk and batch document translation via Pangeonic's powerful translation API is so interesting. And this SaaS, you know, program that you offer with the simple monthly subscription packages is absolutely incredible. You've got drag and drop documents for instant translation, copy and paste text in a private translation panel, full document translation. I mean, it really goes on and on and on. Yeah. But let me ask you this question, Manuel. When we think about translation, I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit because I know you can't really speak for the AI, but maybe you have the data to answer the question. What languages are the hardest languages for the AI and the system to sort of figure out? You know,
to figure out what's happening. Okay, the hardest languages are the ones that are morphologically most rich. I don't know whether. Okay, I'll explain myself. Okay, I imagine in English we have words such as goose and geese. Okay, that doesn't follow the rule. That's not a cow compared to two cows. Right. Or, and then we have man compared to man. But there are many languages that inflect and have declensions, such as German, Russian, all the Baltics, and so forth. Those tend to be the hardest because a word can happen in 7, 6, 8 different forms according to whether I'm next to you, over you, below you, on top of you, and so forth, or even on the mood of the speaker. So for those languages, you need 8 times, 7 times, 10 times more data than you would need, for example, for your, let's say, normal languages such as English, Spanish, French, Italian, or German, or Dutch. Those are the most complicated for AI to process. But then again, the problem is solved with more and more data.
Very interesting. When we think about it, everybody in today's world, from watching the TV shows and watching, you know, Netflix movies about the way, you know, the internet and computers are taking the world over, you know, they get a little bit worried about this machine learning and they get a little freaked out, right, about, you know, artificial intelligence. But what's very interesting is I know that when you built the platform, Manuel, as the architect of the machine translation platform, I know you had to build it to sort of retrain itself continuously. How often does that retraining occur through the system? Is it just constant every second?
It's user defined. So users can define the level and the impact on the algorithm. There are basic 3 levels. So they just want to add data, or they want to prioritize their data, or they want to aggressively train the algorithm with a new data. And that is really up to the client. We don't get involved in just, well, there's a cleaning process there, but that's just to delete data that is not prone for machine learning. But we don't keep the data, it's all in the hands of the user. Our baseline models that support this, yes, they are improved, let's say, every 3 or 4 months with tons and tons of more data that we gather and we manufacture in order to improve the language model. There are a bunch of languages that we consider as solved, and there are that are syntactically not far from English, such as Spanish or French, Italian, Portuguese. We don't really do a lot more work on them. And our work is to mine it and improve the systems, our systems in languages that are low resources, such as Vietnamese, for example, Hindi, Baltic languages, Latvian, Lithuanian, Polish is a hard nut to crack. So the ongoing process, the process is ongoing, and we're always gathering data there.
Interesting, Mamel. You know, obviously, your company revolutionized the concept of statistical machine translation systems by including retraining features and all the other things that you're talking about, TMX management, cleaning routines, et cetera. When we think about the team that you've built, you know, we think about a world-class technology, AI, linguistics team. When you build a team like you've been able to put together at Panjianic, what's the single most important thing you're looking for someone to join the team? What's the thing about them that you love?
Oh, passion. Passion for what we do. Passion for computational linguistics. Passion, maybe not so much for languages. A flair for languages is appreciated. But certainly a passion for AI and to make the world better by helping people communicate and companies and institutions communicate better with the rest of individuals in the world. Because that is, in effect, in actual fact, that is what we do. We help people communicate and spread their message to much bigger audiences that they would never be able to reach.
Yes, I love it. So you're looking for passion because people behind the scenes, you know, everybody thinks of these technology companies, they forget about the people behind the technology. And the technology only works when there's people with that passion. Yes. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Yes, absolutely. You can be the best programmer in the world, but if you don't talk to anybody and nobody wants to work with you, well, it's going to be difficult to fit you in.
That's right. Listen, it's such an honor to speak with you. You're one of the worldwide leaders in the field. You've been doing this for so long. You put together such a unique team of AI and machine learning experts with years of experience in everything that you do. The results are incredible. And let's turn our conversation, Manuel, to the entrepreneurship just a little bit, because we have some entrepreneurs that watch the show. Maybe they're younger entrepreneurs, or they're in a startup, or they're even more evolved in their business process. But let's say they're hitting a roadblock, and let's say they're hitting a stumbling block or a pothole in the road, and they're listening to you and they're hearing about this incredible technology you've built with the great people behind it. But you and I both know, Manuel, that, you know, great entrepreneurs, we all hit roadblocks along the way, and we all hit potholes along the way. So maybe you could give some advice to the younger entrepreneurs watching the show who might be hitting a roadblock and how to get through that roadblock.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've been long enough in business, you know that it's never an easy road, and there's many stumbling blocks and puddles that you have to sort out. Never give up. If you believe in your mission, never give up. But be sufficiently intelligent and humble to admit that sometimes you are wrong, and maybe what you have been doing and the way you have been doing it, perhaps, I'm not going to say it was wrong, but there are better ways of doing things. Okay, people drive on the right side of the road. In some countries, drive on the left side of the road. In Britain, they drive. In Japan, they drive. In India, in Australia, they drive on the right, on the left. It doesn't mean the Australians are wrong and we're right. Okay, it's just a different way of doing things. For them, it works. Okay, for you, other things work. And be ready to change your product with the comments of the people that are using it. And if they're not good, rethink your strategy. Okay, is client feedback is the best school and the best university that you're going to go. If your clients say you're great and you're doing, and they're ready to, and they recommend you, and somebody else is paying you another $100 for the same thing, that's great. Keep on doing it, you know. Throw more wood to the fire because it's burning all right. If nobody's paying for it, rethink the strategy and be humble. Okay, it doesn't matter how much you grow, how many great things you do, or people, great people you talk to. Be humble because there is always the other half of the road to walk.
I love it. That is really great advice for young entrepreneurs. Rewind what Manuel just said. Be humble. Be great, be compassionate with others, be modest and be kind, and at the same time, believe in what you're doing. And if you believe in what you're doing and you hit a pothole, just keep on pushing through, because it's that belief that's going to come through. Now, Manuel, I've been waiting for a long time to get you on the show, and I had so many questions, and I'm sorry for keeping you a little bit over, but I want to talk a little bit about this vision that I have. And this vision that I think is very interesting, and from talking to other people, maybe it's going to happen. And I know that you're a translation expert, one of the preeminent worldwide leaders, but is there ever going to be a time where I'm going to be able to go, let's say, to Japan, and I don't speak Japanese, and I speak into my phone or some type of device, and the other person who speaks Japanese only, doesn't speak any English, is going to be able to understand me perfectly, like real time? Is there anything on the books or anything happening like that already? And when is that going to happen?
Yeah, not only that, Andy, but you will also speak to robots and they'll bring you dinner. and it gets better than that. That is already happening. It's not okay. That is a product. We don't serve that. We could get involved with companies manufacturing that, but our services is different. It's very, very, very related indeed, but we don't manufacture gadgets. We provide a service, a SaaS service. But there are some services that are very close to it. And if you go to Tokyo, go down to Shinjuku. There is a robot bar where not only the bartender, but the waiter is a robot, and they will pass your order down to the kitchen where a human will cook it for you. But you can have the pleasure of converting to a robot and say, double espresso with a drop of milk and two sugars, and it will bring it to you. So we very much there. I think AI is going very fast and at tremendous speed. Look where we were 3 years ago, and even Panjianic, where what we were doing 3 years ago and what we're doing now, and the amount of the speed at which we are advancing is exponential.
I love it. You know, Manuel, when I started the interview with you, I knew I was speaking to the worldwide leader, the CEO at Panjianic, MIT Entrepreneurship, double BA at Manchester University, with company management, strategy, financial control. I mean, really a great background, but little did I know that I was going to be learning about robot bars in Japan. Right?
Well, yes. Well, I went there with my daughter 2 years ago. It's just before COVID, 2019, 2018. Yeah. It was amazing. It's amazing. And I think a lot of innovation is going to come from there. But AI and language AI is going to come in many shapes, and it's going to change our lives deeply. I mean, the same way that we are beginning to see self-driving cars and taxis that pick up. There is a lot of technology happening there, and you can't have a conversation with your car because you program it, but you can check what the weather is like and different things. That's going to change the market tremendously, because imagine that 90% of the time our cars are sitting in the garage and nobody's driving them. We only use 10% of our cars, yet we pay full price for them. So self-driving cars are going to be completely different, because they're going to be on the road all the time. With very good route maps, and the economy is going to be more a subscription economy. People won't buy cars. They will buy a $100 subscription to a car, because really, I want my car, I don't need to take three more taxis. So for that $100, $300, I will have the pleasure of having a car, drive me to work, come back. The car goes on to do other errands, and then pick me up again, and three more colleagues, because we're going home and we will be dropped off much, much cheaper. Now, that has implications, what I call the Rubik's Cube implications. Okay, you move one side, and then three or more, four, the colors have been they're all mixed. It's very difficult to move one side without affecting the others. Now, that will affect the housing market, the car lots. Okay, our cities have been built to house cars, to have cars parked in supermarkets, in many other places. That's going to have an impact in the real estate economy. The same is going to happen when we can publish our podcasts, our news, etc., with the confidence that the people reading or hearing us speaking in Brazil are going to say, well, okay, yeah, there was one word, but I understood completely everything that Andy was asking, and I understood everything that Manuel was saying. The world's going to come a lot more closer.
This
type of repercussions is what AI, and in at least in our industry, in language, is bringing round, and very soon.
Manuel, this is remarkable. I'm going to bring you back on the show to talk about what's going to happen in the future, because I look at you as a zeitgeist, a futurist, someone that really is interested and ingrained with what's going to happen for our children and our children's children. And I hear from you this positivity bias. And, you know, you're looking at it with the glass is going to be half full versus so many people that look at the future as the glass half empty. And I love that about you so much. And I know that leadership starts at the top. Corporate culture starts at the top. That's why Panjianic has become such a great worldwide leader in the translation space. So, Manuel, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know I cut out only a certain amount of time. I went over, so my apologies. I know you're just helping so many companies. But we're going to bring you back on the show. We're going to talk about the future of technology because I love what I'm hearing with that positivity bias of you. So, Manuel, thank you so much for coming on the .com Magazine Entrepreneur Spotlight Series today.
It was my pleasure, Andy. Anytime.